Welcome to Brush with Creativity, the podcast where my co-host Jeff and I will dive deep into the realms of artistic expression. In today's episode, we're going to embark on a fascinating exploration of a very crucial aspect of the creative process, adaptability and flexibility. As creatives, we often find ourselves navigating that ever-shifting landscape of inspiration and daily challenges. Join us as we unravel the intricacies of adapting to new technologies, embracing unexpected inspirations, and fostering the flexibility in our creative pursuits. Get ready for a thought-provoking discussion that delves into the intersection of creativity, philosophy, and creative discipline, all while drawing parallels to the dynamic nature of the creative journey. We hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, goodness. How you been?
Hey, you know, it's been a rough week. I think everybody knows Jeff and I both have, you know, day jobs that we do. Mm-hmm. I'm a design director, and it's been one of those weeks where it's been a really challenging week. It really has. And Jeff and I were both talking about it just a few minutes ago. We were talking about, you know, what gets you through the really difficult weeks, you know, and we were just kind of trying to, you know, kind of unpack, you know, what do you do to succeed when, you know, pretty much everything feels like it's been kind of stacked against you, if you will. And you have just like a royal mess to contend with, unpacking. And I think that, I think we rested on, you know, the fact that you have to realize that in a lot of instances in life, you know, you get to choose how you feel about something. And so,
yeah, that adaptability and that flexibility is that what our topic is today?
Adaptability and flexibility is our topic for the day, right?
Awesome.
And so everyone out there, I think as soon as you talk about being adaptable or adaptability, I think it's a very polar response you get is you can have people who are going to be like, yes, I love change. Change is good. I change things all the time. I rearrange my house once a month, you know. And then you have other people that are like, I'm turning it off right now because there's nothing I hate in the world more than change. And as soon as you start talking about adaptability, you're talking about change.
So are we talking we're talking about flexibility and adaptability from a creative standpoint today, or are we talking about it in a more broad sense?
I think you have to.
Okay.
And I think that one of the things that we also fail to mention quite often, like we should mention quite often, is just what this podcast is all about, which is about helping each of us who are creatives think about our creative processes and our creativity and our creative lives, and help us to think about those in a way that can help us to be even more creative and more productive and
absolutely.
And less, I think less about productivity from the sense of like your conventional ways of thinking about productivity, but thinking about like what feels right for you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this horrible mindset that's out there that says every creative effort that you would want to spend time or money on should be a business. It should be creating revenue of some kind, which is absolutely horrible. We do all kinds of things in life and we don't expect revenue from it. Creative efforts are very important and can give you great joy and can advance civilization.
Yes.
Without having to be a business.
That's a very good point. I think that's the first thing I would underline as far as talking about flexibility and adaptability is seeing that it's not within the context of revenue as a sense of it makes your life fuller. You could look at it that way. It's a fuller, richer existence.
I think that's a great way of looking at it. I think one of the things that we want to think about when we start thinking about adaptability or, you know, being able to be versatile, or being able to be nimble, or being able to adjust to new challenges, new situations in life. I think there's this idea out there that everybody who is really adaptable is adaptable because they have this gift that comes from this wonderful place, and they're able to leverage it in their life in a way that benefits them, right? And it's all, and it's all this like sunshine and rainbows kind of story about adaptability. That's not necessarily the case. I think of my own life, my adaptability does not come from, and I'm very high on the function of adaptability, right? In my life, I'm you know, change is something that I can thrive in. You know, it's not something, I don't freak out over change, right? It doesn't paralyze me. I kind of thrive in that, and I kind of get excited about it. So you might think, well, that's because you, for whatever reason, have this adaptability gift, right? Good for you. But you know, sometimes we have the gift of adaptability, but it doesn't necessarily come from a positive place.
That's true.
Sometimes it can come from, you know, a childhood where you had to be adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
Because of maybe living in extreme poverty, or maybe you, in my case, it was, you know, having the worst form of ADHD that you can probably imagine. At a time, you know, back in the 70s and early 80s when we kind of knew ADHD existed, but we just really, nobody knew what to do with it. It was generally handled with a stick. You know, literally.
Gotcha.
And so
a branch.
Yeah, but what it really meant for what it really meant for someone like me is I could go into a classroom and have a teacher just yell at me because I didn't know how to do a particular math problem. There was no patience or understanding or empathy or anything like that for the condition that would make me, or, you know, that would make them find a different way of teaching that to me.
Gotcha.
I had to learn it just like everybody else, because we all had to be cookie cutter, right? And that's part of the problem of the education system in general, but that's a 3-beer conversation for another time. I think, so what I had to do is teach myself, like, otherwise I'm not going to get through this class. And teaching myself did not make me a math whiz. I mean, I, you know, was in high school when I had to take algebra and algebra 2, I passed by the skin of my teeth. I think it's safe. I think since I've been out of high school since, you know, for more than 30 years, I think it's, the statute of limitations is probably up on this. So I'll let you know. I actually graduated from algebra 2, or I actually graduated high school with a diploma, but I passed algebra 2 because I failed my final exam by, like, I don't know, 3 points or something like that. And the teacher, it was after school. She said, come see me after school. And I did. And she said, you failed your final exam by like 3 points. You're not going to graduate. I'm not going to graduate if I don't pass this class. And she said, tell you what. And she went over to her desk and she got some paper. And she asked me if I had a pencil. And I was like, yeah, I always have pencils. And she said, would you mind? And she handed me a photograph of her daughter. She said, I'd really like a portrait of my daughter. So I did. I drew this killer portrait of her daughter, and she passed me. Adaptability, man.
Oh, there you go. The algebra 2 secret is out.
Yeah. So you know, now,
and what was that high school? No.
Yeah, waiting for spring high school to come to me and say, we're retracting your
diploma.
I also missed 2.5 days too many to graduate. But when they found out I was leaving for the Army 3 days after graduation, they're like, well, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna, because one, they wanted me gone. And two, and you know, I remember my guidance counselor told my dad, he said, you know, if we can graduate football players that can't read, we can get your boy off to the Army. No judgment against
spring yeah, high school
players or anything like that. Just that was the comment that he made. And if you remember,
and you knew it verbatim.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so if you remember high school in the mid 80s, you know, there was a lot of controversy around the
there new was. Form,
no pass, no play.
Yes.
And there was a huge issue with reading capabilities, you know, from high school graduates, you know, not just football players. I mean, this was this was a problem across the board. Fortunate for me, I was horrible at math. Specifically, I mean, I'm good at math. When it got to algebra,
abstract.
Once you start putting letters in there, my brain just broke. But I had a college reading level by the time I was in fourth grade, so I was really, really good with reading. But it didn't save me, you know. I still struggled in school. So that struggle. That's where my adaptability is born from. And so when you take someone like me and you go, oh, you're super flexible, you're super adaptable, you're super, you know, you can embrace change super easily. And I'm like, I don't think you realize what it takes interiorly for me to do that. So exteriorly, you see it as just me being super adaptable, super flexible, things are going great. But interiorly, yeah, I struggle just like the person who hates change, doesn't want change, who, like, it's almost paralyzing. I've been doing this so long. I've been dancing on fire for so long, figuring things out in my life for so long, simply because it's a survival mechanism for me. So that's where I would say, let's be careful that in how we categorize people who are very adaptable to change and people who are not. So what does this mean for creative people, Jeff?
Well, I think it means that you have the world as your oyster if you want it to be that way. So as, for example, the public school teaching thing for me didn't work out after 10 years. Joshua was struggling. I had to do something. I was watching him fall between the cracks of the educational system, had a master's degree. So my adaptability was, we're going to focus 100% on Joshua, and we're going to make these sacrifices to do whatever it takes so that he has a teacher that can adapt the curriculum so that he can be successful. And I felt like that teacher was me. So artistically, it tells you that you have the potential in your artistic creative self to fit into the various holes that your life presents for yourself. That's what I think.
Yeah. And Joshua, for those who don't know, Joshua is Jeff's son. otherwise, there might be one of those two listeners out there that's like, who is this Joshua person? But I think learning how to become adaptable and flexible is an integral part of parenting, right? Something that any parent will tell you, that whether I like it or not, something I have to learn how to do, because if I don't, it's gonna make child rearing very, very difficult. I think that, so when we talk about like an artist getting into the studio, like let's break this down into some situations that an artist in a studio might encounter, right?
I like that. Yeah.
So maybe you go into the studio and you're like, okay, so where are we going with this? Let's take it down to something very, we've talked about these big, heavy life issues that,
yes,
that affected Jeff and I that are examples of adaptability. But let's talk about adaptability in the studio.
Okay.
So, Jeff, as a writer, you have a fixed time every day that you allot for writing, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And so let's say, for whatever reason, for the next 2 weeks, your schedule is going to get completely upended. Let's say that, there's a commitment that you have to have, that is going to it's going to jam up your schedule for the next 2 weeks, and now you don't have that writing time. How would you approach that as a person who's who considers himself to be adaptable? And then how might you approach that if you're a person who struggles with adaptability?
So you would look at time as a pie, and you would, since you've got a certain time that you're supposed, and that's what Stephen King says, right? And all the great writers say is it's about showing up at that certain time. And all of a sudden you don't have that certain time. So you begin to think of your life and your ability to put yourself in certain situations of scheduling time, and you put it in a pie. And when you do that, you take it out of the context of being a schedule, and you look at it as a certain number of hours that you can put in. So, for example, when my mom was going through her cancer and her leukemia, then if I went to see her that week, or successive days as she got to be worse, I would have to change my writing time to fit around that schedule. So life happens and you adjust. And sometimes you adjust really well, and sometimes there's hits that come. So possibly in being more of that support and caregiver for my mom, I would have to do things that I didn't want to do, like maybe, you know, getting home at 8 o'clock and writing to 12 or whatever it would be. So that would be an example of how a writer would adjust to with adaptability to certain deadlines that they might have when they're in a situation where their time is limited.
Yeah, you're speaking from experience and having had mm-hmm. to do that yourself in a very trying time. I think one of the things that I hear you saying is that initially what you have to do is you have to just kind of stop and understand the nature of the change, you know, and for and in your mm-hmm. case, especially when you're talking about your mom's end of life scenario, you're talking about that's relatively easy to understand, you know, where that's coming from on the surface, but there's a lot of things that impact the human being that are not on the surface, that and there's a lot of change that comes that you don't think about before you go into that situation. And just being able to stop and just kind of understand what's coming, what's happening around you, and kind of try to find a way to look at that analytically, you're going to end up having that be something that you're approaching emotionally. You're not going to get around that, but it's super mm-hmm. important, super important for you to be able to try to find a way to not deny your emotions, mm-hmm. not suppress them, mm-hmm. but to be able to say, I recognize my emotions. They're valid, right? Mm-hmm. Feelings are never right or wrong. They're always what they are. Mm-hmm. Accept that, say, but I don't have to completely shut down because I'm feeling this way. I can analyze the nature of the change, if you will. And then once I do that, I can then get in, you know, through this kind of reflective process, look at what's going on around me and think about what are the things that are happening and what's my role in those things that are happening, and how can I, you know, how can I operate within this change that's coming? And then that enables you then to, once you kind of see that more clearly, then that's going to help you get into those next steps of, okay, this is where we're going to actually employ our flexibility or adaptability, whether we have it or not, as a mm-hmm. quote gift. We're going to kind of exercise that muscle, because we all have the muscle. Some people have it really well developed, and some people don't. that's where we incorporate those changes or those incremental changes that we need to get to the things that we need to get done, right?
Yeah, that life pie is, it's a really good exercise because it can keep you at least cognizant of where you are as far as your different emotional needs, your spiritual needs, your physical needs. Yeah. Have you ever done it?
I have never done that one. No.
Okay.
No, that's something we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But I think one of the things that is very interesting about creative people is the variety of different ways that we come at problem solving, right? That's why we're generally seen as being creative, because we do tend to think outside the box, or we do tend to employ very creative methods in how we solve problems, right? So as a user experience designer, I might in my problems that I want to solve in life, I might employ some of those kind of UX design principles, if you will, into, you know, my own decision-making processes and problem-solving processes in life. Some people can look at that and say, wow, you're really overcomplicating things. And other people might say, that's exactly what I've needed for my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the way that goes into play when you start to think about how really user experience or experiential things, they are very adaptable in the sense of using that as a mindset to bring into a lot of different situations. You know, like when you're talking about a website, right? You want the user, the visitor, right, to leave your site with certain things in mind. And if you begin with the Stephen Covey end in mind, then you work backwards. Yeah, it works. That it's a very adaptable framework, mental framework, to bring into a lot of different situations, websites being just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, okay, so let's talk about creativity. Let's break it. Let's kind of break this down into some maybe like 7 steps that people can kind of look at in order to get through a situation where you're having to be flexible or adaptable to a situation and you're not sure how to, and that's really kind of contextually put this around change and change. Okay. Change, there can be all kinds of change, you know, it can be drastic change, like losing a loved one, or it could be something very simple. Like I went into the studio to finish my gouache painting and I was all out of gouache paint, you know,
there you go.
And it's Christmas Day at 8 o'clock in the evening and all the stores are closed and, you know, okay, so
there you go.
So
what do you
do? I want to get my studio time in because my soul needs it, you know? So now I'm having, you know, this, you know, I'm having to do something else, right? That, and all I ever do is gouache painting. And so, you know, now you're asking me, or the universe is asking me to embrace some kind of change. And what might seem like something very simple for you and me, you know, running out of gouache paint might be just like
devastating,
huge devastating thing for somebody. But I don't want to make light of that. But then at the same time, I also want to say that, like, these things can be employed no matter the scale of the change that you're having to deal with in your life. So, like, the first thing that you want to do is you kind of want to understand what the change is and what your role is in that change. And I think that's really key, because I think a lot of times when we have change in our lives, we don't really know or think about or spend enough time thinking about, well, what is my role in all of this? Right. Mm-hmm. Let's say you lose your job. Yes. Let's say, you know, you have a role to play as, maybe if you're single, you have a role to play as a person who is taking care of your own life and all of the things that come with that, your real estate or your apartment, your house, your pets, you might be taking care of, to some degree, you know, other family members, or you might be nurturing a career growth that you were trying, you know, trying to have. And this puts a big change, a big hiccup in that. Right. And that can happen. And, you know, and then again, you know, you could be somebody who other people depend on. You could be a father, a mother, you could be a caretaker, you know, and so this becomes a huge change. Understand. So what is my role in that? Right. You might have a studio that has asked you, said, hey, look, we want to do, we want you to do a show. And we've been asked to see if you can contribute pieces to a show, and it's on a particular subject that you're completely unfamiliar with. And so
yes,
you're kind of asked to do artwork. They're asking you to do artwork that's outside your wheelhouse of
gotcha.
Experience or understanding. Maybe you're an actor that's being asked to play a role that you're not used to playing. Maybe you're a dancer that's being asked to dance in a different kind of production than you've ever danced before, you know, or a writer.
Like jazz to ballet.
Exactly. Yeah. Gotcha. Or maybe you're a, you know, maybe you've been doing fiction writing forever, but you know, your publisher comes up and says, you know, I've got another author that wants to work with you on a true crime drama, novel, you know, that's like about a real, you know, it's about a real murder mystery and not, it's not fiction. So all these kinds of things that I've just mentioned, and there's an infinite number of different kinds of changes that you could have happen in your life, right? It's really critical to recognize, one, change is inevitable. It's always happening.
Yes.
It's always happening all around you. As resistant as you might be to change, you are rolling with changes every day of your life. If you're aging, you're changing. I guarantee it, right? So try to find a way to be at peace with the fact that change is universal and constant. This is where philosophy can help out. If you're one of those people who finds comfort in philosophy, this is something where, you know, you can derive, I derive a great deal of comfort from just simple ideas such as memento mori, the fact that we're all going to die someday. For some people, that's very, very, very morbid. But for me, it's a very, very, very life affirming, right? I know that I am not promised a tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm not promised to this evening. So I need to try to do what I can do to make the most of right now. But that might not be the philosophy that you gravitate towards or that motivates you. So you got to find what works for you. Buddhism provides a lot of comfort to people who want to kind of detach emotionally from a change that's going on around them, or learn how to do that. There's a lot of different kind of things that you can learn from philosophy. But in a nutshell, you need to recognize, one, change is inevitable, and two, you need to ask yourself, in that inevitable change, what is my role in this change? And then, so let's go to step two. Step two is engaging in that reflective process, right? So as I'm understanding the change around me, and I'm understanding my role in it, what are the things that I can do that will positively, that will have a positive effect versus a negative effect? So I'm in my studio. I've run out of gouache paint, right? All I have is watercolor, and I freaking hate watercolor.
I see.
But I gotta paint today. I just need it, right? All the stores are closed. There's 10 feet of snow outside. If I don't paint something, I'm gonna go crazy. So here's an idea. Why don't I look at the watercolor and I say, I pull something out of myself where I say, I don't like watercolor paint. I accept that I don't like watercolor paint, but I'm going to challenge myself to do this. And I'm going to try to do something maybe that's completely opposite that I'm used to doing on a regular basis. I'm going to really step out of my comfort zone with this painting. Nobody's ever going to see it anyway, right? Maybe that's the mindset I adopt in order to get over that, right? Or maybe I say, I'm going to paint in watercolor, but I'm only going to use one color. you know,
yeah,
or I say I have no gouache paint. I've actually used up every bit of tube of my gouache paint. All I have are watercolor paints. So guess what? I'm going to find a way to feel, to get that creative release that I need so badly from just drawing. I'll grab pens and pencils and just draw because I hate watercolor. I'm not using my watercolor paints. You're not going to make me, you know. Sometimes maybe getting out of your comfort zone and doing something crazy with that, right? So maybe just grab a big sheet of paper, you know, roll it out on your workspace and grab a box of crayons. Yeah, I know, right? Kids crayons. And, you know, what can you do with that? I actually won a scholarship in high school with a crayon drawing. so the thing is that maybe look at that change as being kind of God or the universe or fate or whatever your belief system, you know, enables you to look at this, whatever lens it enables you to look at it through. Look at this as you're being tested, challenged with doing something in a new way, in a different way. And I think if you can look at it through that kind of lens, right, then it will be easier for you to adopt that change. And likewise, if you're trying to commit some kind of great change. So like, let's say you just lost your job. It's a huge change in life. Now you're an unemployed person, right? So what is my role in being unemployed? We talked a little bit about that. You know, maybe you're a spouse or a provider or something. So now you understand your role. Now you need to, and you've engaging in this reflective process. You know, you're trying to understand all of the different things that you could have as opportunities, right? And so you think both conventional and then force yourself to kind of think outside the box unconventionally. Like, and then once you've kind of engaged in that kind of reflective process, right? That's when you're going to start looking at the changes that you could make, the things that you could do in the face of this situation that you're in. So maybe I'll paint in watercolor. Maybe I'll paint in crayon or draw with crayon. Maybe I will just make aluminum foil sculptures or something to exercise my creativity, right? But look at it as an opportunity to step outside of what you conventionally see as yourself. And sometimes you can find some really cool answers there. Incremental approaches to adaptability are best. Right? Don't try to do it all. You know, don't try to do everything. Pick the most important things that you need to do. What can I do to take a step forward in the situation that I'm in? One step forward. And take that one step. And then what is the next step? And then what is the next step? Don't try to figure it all out at once. If it's something small, like I've run out of gouache paint, it's not too hard to figure out, oh, I'm just going to play with aluminum foil this afternoon, make aluminum foil animals. Okay, that's not a very big problem with a very big solution, right? But like, let's say you're unemployed now.
Yes.
Right. So that's a huge problem, right? It's very complex, and there's lots of things that you need to do, lots, overwhelming number of things that you need to do. So you rack and stack those things. You look at those things and you say, what's the most important thing I have to do right now? What's the most important thing I have to do this morning? What's the most important thing I have to do today? Right. And just look at it that way. After a while, you'll look back over a few days or whatever, and you'll realize that you've made a lot of progress, but you've got to be able to analyze the problem and your role in the problem, and then break that problem down into its smallest pieces. Then take those small pieces and move forward through them. That's going to make the incremental change that's going to get you where you need to be. I would say that's kind of how we look at solving problems, being flexible, being adaptable. Always have a supportive environment. Like we've talked about this on the podcast before. When you have massive changes or obstacles or things that require you to be flexible and adaptable way beyond your comfort zone, this is where bringing in your support network is really important. We've got episodes where we've talked about how to build a support network.
Yes.
And then lastly, I would say, you know, look at different things that you can do to problem solve, right? There's lots of books out there, lots of systems for how to think creatively outside the box to solve problems. I mentioned, you know, UX design principles that you can leverage, you know, where you can kind of imply this, you know, kind of apply this kind of, it's kind of user-centered design principle to solve problems in your life. And there's some really good books out there we'll put in the show notes that can kind of help you with that too, right?
I was thinking of that one, design, you said Design Your Life, I think it was called.
Yes, that's a very, very good one. Yeah, but I forget the author's name. I think it's two that authored that book. But yeah, that's a very good one. Yeah, and I think those are like the four or five things that you can do to help you to kind of, I think, and I didn't talk about this explicitly, but I think when you're analyzing a problem that you have in life, reframing that problem is kind of what I was talking about.
That reframing.
Like, don't look at it as a problem. Look at it as an opportunity.
Challenge.
It's a challenge. Look at it as a test, whatever. Try to think about how to turn the words that you use in your internal dialogue or as you're talking with other people, the words that you use to describe the situation, try to reframe those into a positive, and you know, with positive language. And in doing that, you'll find that it's easier to solve the problem because you start to employ positive emotions in solving that problem versus employing negative emotions that will keep you from solving the problem. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I think, you know, as much as we look down or kind of make fun of positive people as we see in the world, you basically have a choice. You can either be that way and look towards things with an optimistic viewpoint, or you can choose to look at the pessimistic side. And it really boils down to those two things. And what is going to help you grow is probably going to be the growth side, which would be the positivity.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I would say that a couple other things that can be really helpful when you're trying to employ or exercise, you know, flexibility or adaptability, especially when it's uncomfortable. And I think we're kind of leaning a lot of this episode towards when it's really uncomfortable. Because I think that's where people want to figure out what to do, right? We talked a little bit about, you know, make sure you have that creative support network in place. Make sure that you have that in place or build it if you don't. I think another thing that is really important to do when you're faced with situations where you need to be flexible or adaptable is to kind of look for other people who can inspire you in that kind of change, or, you know, maybe somebody who's had change that's analogous to what you're doing. I think it's really important, right? To learn from other people, to be inspired from other people. I think, you know, art is always kind of in our creative efforts. You know, this is kind of a medium for expressing our thoughts and emotions a lot of times. And so we can learn a lot from other people, other creative people, who are expressing their thoughts and emotions as they go through changes that we learn about in their lives, right? So this is where reading about the lives of artists and writers and people in creative is really, really important.
You can kind of adapt that to whether you're a more extroverted person or a more introverted person. So you could look at the sense of diving into the research and getting that introverted way of thinking and going through and learning the same thing that you would learn as if you were getting on Zooms and talking to artists in the extra room.
As a spiritual person, I think that it's very, very important to me in my life to lean on the spirit world for guidance and advice, you know, whether it's, you know, communicating with a guardian angel or a saint or something like that. In my life, that's kind of where I gravitate towards getting that kind of supernatural assistance from. Different people have different belief systems. Totally understand that. You know, look to your belief system and see if there's something that within your system of beliefs that gives you the ability to look into the non-physical world or spirit world or whatever it is that your belief system, you know, employs for you to do that, because ultimately we're spiritual beings, right? We have a spirit side and we have a body side, and so much of our creativity, as we have continued to talk about for months now, so much of our creativity flows from or through that kind of non-physical or non-corporeal aspect of our existence, right? That, that spirit world. So it's natural, I think, to want to try to find a way to incorporate those belief systems into how you come about problem solving, how you come about your adaptability.
Yeah, I was thinking of when, kind of outside the box, but I was thinking of when you were talking about that sense of the Joseph Campbell hero's journey, right?
Right.
So he starts out with first changing your mindset to understand that by being born out of all of those eggs and sperm cells that were there, you're already a hero by making it through the birth canal. And then now you have an opportunity to show your heroism. Heroism.
Sure. We're going to say that works.
Yeah. So your heroism would be that now that idea of the hero's journey, all of those things that it talks about, the tests, the trials, all of those things can be your framework. You can realize that those things are coming and that you move in the direction where you can face those in the most positive light.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Joseph Campbell. I mean, yeah. And, you know, and I think, you know, for me in my life, it's very much about my relationship with my own guardian angel or with angels in general. That's a devotion that I have, that I work, that I employ, you know, when I'm in trouble, that's where I go for help. And it's very helpful to my being able to overcome, obstacles. And it's very helpful for me to be able to, employ, you know, that adaptability and flexibility, that I need especially when I need to think way outside the box,
I see,
solve a problem. Right. So, other people might not be an option for you. But again, I think that if you have a spiritual discipline, like look into your spiritual discipline to understand where that could guide you. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so those are just a few thoughts on how to handle big changes and small changes in life, how to kind of exercise flexibility and adaptability. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that's helpful.
Yes.
Hopefully helpful. But we'll be back at it again in 2 weeks with a new episode.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys be your top shelf you and find that positivity in those situations out there.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for listening.
Absolutely. Have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in to another inspiring episode of Brush with Creativity. We really hope that you enjoyed this conversation. Before we wrap up, Jeff and I would like to extend our gratitude to all of our incredible listeners. It really is our hope that you're getting some inspiration from all of these shows. Remember, your creativity is a force to be reckoned with, and your unique ideas matter in this world. We want to hear from you. Share your creative endeavors, your artistic triumphs, your experiences with the show, or how you interact with your own creativity. Always remember that you can reach out and connect to us at www.brushwithcreativity.com. Feel free to drop us a message, comment, or even share your own creative journey. We're all about fostering a community of like-minded individuals who appreciate the beauty in both art and the unknown. Again, thanks for spending your time with us. You're amazing, you're appreciated, and you're loved. And with that, we bid you farewell until the next episode. Keep those creative juices flowing. Stay curious, and remember, together, creative people can change the world.